The alcoholic's mind, you see, is functioning backwards. He's looking at causes and calling them results. He said if she'd keep her big mouth shut, there'd be no drinking. Well, if there were no drinking, her mouth wouldn't be open. You know, I'm minded of a magnificent story that illustrates the way an alcoholic's mind works. There was an old lady down in the Ozarks. She's about 89 years old, and she was seen for about 3 straight days pulling a solid iron chain. It was about 100 yards long, pulling this thing, a step at a time, almost falling down at each step. Finally, one old man said, "Granny, what are you pulling that chain for?" She said, "Did you ever try to push one?" That's the way the alcoholic's mind works. He's pushing chains instead of pulling them. His mind is working backwards. We can all see this. It is so obvious. It is so obvious. Where do we learn these symptoms? I mean, I could go through them here now forevermore, but you learn it from literature. There are books and pamphlets. And by the way, the best literature in the entire world is AA pamphlets. Reason? Number one, they're brief. You can read them in less than 20 minutes. Number two, they're free. Number three, there's not a wasted syllable in them because number four, they are written by pros who have been there. You can learn from movies and lectures and seminars and institutes. But you will learn best from the man who owns one. You know how they teach men to be flyers? They put them in a classroom for so many months, and then they put them in an airplane with somebody that does know how to fly. Your kids right now, you know how they learn to drive a car? They have put in 30 hours in a classroom, then they get in a car with somebody who does know how to drive. Now, I submit this for your simple consideration. If you were going to buy a pair of roller skates, I don't think you'd go to a Dodge dealer and ask about performance. You want to know something about alcoholism? Yeah, somebody has been there and knows what it's all about. A lot of these jerks that write books about alcoholism probably haven't been on a decent drunk in their lives. See, now, that's one of my adverse attitudes. But anyway. So you know what I'm doing now? I'm inviting all of you to attend a whole lot of open AA meetings. AA meetings are of two kinds, closed and open. Closed is just that. It's real dyed-in-the-wool therapy where alcoholics share with each other. An open meeting is just that. It's open to anyone who's interested. There's one area of the country in which, before every AA meeting, a prologue is read. It spells out a definition of AA, what it is, and why it is. And this is the last sentence. We welcome and appreciate the cooperation of the medical profession, the clergy, and the public in general. So you're all invited. Now, many non-alcoholics, that's the last place in the world they're going to go. They'll be experts. They'll treat alcoholics. So have you ever been to any meeting? You want to know some of your own basic attitudes toward alcoholics? I can see some of you non-alcoholics setting out some night, walking into an AA meeting, you know. Wonder who's looking. And then when you get inside, well, how will they know I'm not one? How will they know I'm not one? Most people wouldn't be caught dead at an AA meeting. And yet they profess to come to things like this and say they're really interested. Most of them wouldn't be caught dead at an AA meeting. There is still the stigma of, it's not filth really, it's just a little coating of slime. And we don't want to be associated with that at all. But anyway, that's where you're going to learn it. That's where you will learn the symptoms. Here's where you will learn that one alcoholic is different from another. Here's where you will learn that what works for one does not work for another. Here's where you will learn the difference in detail, but the sameness of nature. You know, when Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson got together, they were men of two divergent backgrounds. Their drinking was the same, and yet it was different. And if you listen to enough thousands of alcoholics talk about alcoholism, their own, you may indeed begin to get a little notion of what this mystery is all about. Guideline 3 is nothing but a corollary of 2. It is one of the things that you will learn about the disease, but it is of such utmost importance that we treat it separately. Learn that alcohol is the center, the prime reality, and the governing force of the alcoholic's life. This is one of the things you will learn about alcoholism. That alcohol governs the alcoholic. This is what makes him different from the non-alcoholic drinker, the non-alcoholic non-drinker. He is controlled by his addiction. The substance governs his life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once you realize that, the seemingly irrational behavior of the alcoholic makes sense. I have seen people in this field ask questions that they should never ask at all because they have not yet grasped the fact of addiction. Alcoholism is addiction to drug alcohol. All right? Addiction has two elements in it, compulsion and progression. The alcoholic drinks the way he drinks because he can't not drink that way. Please believe this. If willpower could handle alcoholism, there would be no alcoholics. Every alcoholic has willed to not drink. And so, once you know that without proper therapy, the alcoholic will drink because he has to, then be prepared when he says never again for him to get drunk. Be prepared when he says never more than 3 for him to drink 23. Once you know the nature of what's wrong with him, he drinks against his will, you can predict everything that's going to happen. Now, please, let's go back to the graveyard. When somebody looks at you and says, well, I know a man who showed up drunk at his mother's funeral, you say, of course he did. That's what's wrong. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where I came to my conclusion. When one's drinking causes problems, and doing something like that is a problem, that is the drinking problem that I call alcoholism. Why, he told me a lie, and you could see that he was lying. Yes, alcoholics lie when you know they're lying. Now, do you want to know why alcoholics lie about their drinking? Alcohol is the center, the prime reality, and the governing force of his life. If he talks to you and tells you the truth about his drinking, you're going to tell him to not drink, and he can't do that. And so the lie becomes natural to the alcoholic. Let's get to treatment just briefly. I know of a man in one of the branches of our armed services who maintains that he can cure this disease in 10 days by using electricity. The man is a fool. Here's an alcoholic who has lied and broken his word and broken promises and broken pledges for 18 years. Electricity never handled a sense of remorse, my friends, and here's a man who's lived with it all his life. The treatment for alcoholism has to take into consideration the nature of the disease. Alcoholism, this addiction, is illness of body, mind, emotion, and soul caused by the compulsive use of beverage alcohol. The treatment has to restore health of body, mind, emotion, and soul by stopping the drinking of alcohol and substituting a new way of life. And any therapy that doesn't do this ought to be blasted off the face of the earth. I know this is slight rambling, but I think it's to the point. Anyways, once you understand that alcohol controls his life, you understand why he associates with the people he does, why he goes the places he does, why he keeps the hours he keeps, all according to his own pattern. Alcohol dictates all of this. The will is almost gone. It's almost gone. When an alcoholic says never again, he means that. He means that. When an alcoholic says never more than 2, he means that. Getting well is not a question of goodwill only. It's a question of taking the proper medicine. And if the therapy is not proper, then when a man with all the goodwill in the world, he'd give his soul to back up his sincerity when he says never again, and he's drunk 2 days from now. And anyone who knows anything about alcoholism says, of course he was drunk. He's not using the proper medication to get well. He's not using the right medicine to get well. Anyways, for those of you in the room who can't understand compulsion to drink beverage alcohol, try on any of the other addictions. There are 5 basic addictions: narcotics, alcohol, food. There are people who run into closets to eat hamburgers, but they are not natural eaters. They are not normal eaters. They are compulsive eaters. Then the other 2, gambling and work. Now, everybody knows a work addict, the compulsive cleaner. Maybe you live with one. Maybe you are one. But have you ever been in a home that is so clean, looks like nobody lives there? You feel guilty about having your feet on the floor and there's nowhere else to put them. You're sitting there, she empties the ashtray 20 times in an hour. And you don't smoke. Just clean, clean, clean. Now we can laugh at that addiction because the results are nothing. There's nothing antisocial about the compulsive cleaner. But boy, the ramifications of compulsive drinking are legion. They're legion. It controls his life and it explains him. You begin to predict the antisocial behavior. By the way, that's another symptom, the antisocial behavior of the alcoholic. I usually say so many times, it's perfectly normal to stand on pianos and sing songs at parties. That's what we have parties for. But the alcoholic will go into a neighbor's house and hop up on his piano with his golf shoes on and puke on his floor. That's frowned upon. That is not normal activity. How many of you can look at the alcoholic you know and say, he's a wonderful fellow when he's sober? When he's sober. When he's sober. I have to learn this disease in order to know what it is that I'm helping someone for. And if he has it and I don't spot it, he will probably die before I can help him. Ladies and gentlemen, they tell me that there are certain types of cancer that are so insidious that when they get to the stage where they can be detected, it's too late. Just too late. It is almost that with many alcoholics. But hopefully, precisely because of people like yourself, this illness is being diagnosed early. And people are being gotten into treatment. At a facility where I help out at once a month, there is a 13-year-old patient. I met a young kid in Washington the other day, 16. And the under 35 groups in AA are just mushrooming around. So let's learn the disease so that at least we can diagnose it and get alcoholics into proper treatment. But anyway, we have to have proper attitudes. We have to realize the symptoms of the disease in order to know that it is there, the main one of which is this compulsion to drink alcohol, the compulsion to drink alcohol. Willpower has nothing to do with this disease. And ladies and gentlemen, before we break up for lunch, I'd like you to consider this one thing. If there are any of you in this room who still feel that alcoholism is immoral, I'm not talking about alcoholic behavior. That can be very immoral, and that is why AA therapy demands that they take a moral inventory. I'm talking about the disease, the moral nature of the disease. If any of you think that an alcoholic is blameworthy because he has this disease, let's try this 5-second exercise. Let's everybody in the room go back to age 12. You're in the 7th grade. Mentally, close your eyes and write on a slip of paper what you want to be when you grow up. How many of you wrote drunk? Nobody. Nobody. No one is an alcoholic by choice. We'll see you after lunch.